So, hey, stop me if you've heard this one. I just had a detective knock at my door saying he was looking for a man with one eye. I told him it'd probably be a lot quicker if he used both of his eyes. He just looked disappointed. Are you sure the show is for you?
He's on my side on this joke.
Jeez. Jeez. The Dr. D on the mic. Soup stirring up. Hot takes. This ain't cash week anymore. We're live on a rhyme sheet. Let's go. Hello, Arachnids. This is your host, D to the D, Dr. D, reaching out through the unsupervised the internet of whatever it is in Cyberpunk. I still really don't know what it is. It's like its own like little separate local internet now, isn't it? It's
the not net
really
space? Like the internet.
Yeah, just net space in general. It's like its own local network, except it's bigger than just local, I guess. It's like statewide. Is that what I'm supposed to be understanding?
In 2045, it's
like the new internet.
I don't think the new internet's fully up in 2045.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But anyway, yeah, so yeah, that's where we are. That's where we're doing this episode. And today we are lucky enough to have Mr. Matt. I don't know his last name, but he goes by Fixer Matt. And welcome to the show, sir.
Howdy. Nice to be here.
It's nice for you to be here. So today on Netwatch, we are going to be talking about not just like starting a community in the sense that started locally, but Mr. Matt here has actually been exploring the concepts of doing battle reports and recording stuff and doing stuff online for specifically Cyberpunk, but also Borderlands now. Is there any other games that you've been doing?
Just those two.
So Monster Fight Club games specifically as of now, at least.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's what makes you a great fixer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't mean to get into Borderlands, but here we are.
Yeah, don't even get me started on just like accidentally falling into certain games. It happens more than you know. But first, we have to talk about business. We obviously love our patrons. We would not be able to do the show without you. You guys literally keep the lights on, and we really appreciate everything that you do. So again, I've said this ad nauseum, I feel like, at this point, but I don't have a list if anybody has joined recently. I haven't been able to get it. I've been asking. I haven't got it yet. But if you are a patron and I haven't said your name, I do not appreciate you any less. I just literally have not seen your name as of yet. And so I haven't been able to put it in the script. But as of right now, we'd love to thank Cyril S., Derek S., Quimby, Nick B., and Alif is the way. Really appreciate everything that you do with the Digital Nomad tier. Arachne is a part of the Professional Casual Network. If you'd like to support the network, please sign up at our Patreon or purchase some hot swag at streamlabs.com, Professional Casual Network 1. I personally am sponsored by Monument Hobbies. They are some really good paints. I use those paints all the time. If you've ever seen me paint a model, it's probably been Monument paints. I can't really think of any colors I use a lot that aren't specifically Monument Hobby these days. But if you do want to watch us, you can watch me on Professional Casual Network, the Twitch stream. We usually are streaming Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, more often than not, usually around 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And of course, if you want to get some of that paint so you can drink it, use it along with me, you can always use the code Professional Casual checkout to get yourself a swanky discount. And it helps the network out very specifically. Baron of Dice makes some of the coolest dice in the biz. Use the code Arachne to get yourself a really cool dice set. It is a shame that they don't actually make a cyberpunk dice set at Baron of Dice. I'm actually kind of surprised they haven't done that yet. But I guess they would need the IP for it, I guess.
Yeah.
More than likely. Yeah, I bet that makes it kind of tricky. But if you do want fancy dice, I'm pretty sure they sell polyhedral sets, which is essentially what Cyberpunk uses. It's just a polyhedral set with, you know, specific symbols on them. But, I guess you could buy fancy dice like that. But yeah, you go to Baron of Dice. And then, of course, we can never forget our sponsor, Mr. Laser, at MrLaserSquare.shite. So let's get into it, guys. The topic for today is we live in this world of interconnected tubes. And without these tubes, we would not be able to keep the world as clean as we are, because I'm currently talking about plumbing. I'm just kidding. We're talking about the internet. So on the internet, we have people who go on there to do content to hopefully inspire people to make content for their whatever it is they do. You know, we have people who do battle reports, we have people who do painting guides, we have people who do Twitch streams, we have lore reading and stuff like that. And I think that Cyberpunk is uniquely placed in that because of the fact that the lore for it is so deep. And of course, whenever you have a game that's, I say new, not to say that the Cyberpunk game is super young by any means, but it's not as old as something as like 40K. So it's kind of like the new kid on the block in a lot of ways. But when you have something that's not been around quite as long as 40K, at least from a model gaming standpoint, I think it's very important for the people who make the stuff in the background to get some recognition, because it's those people who are ultimately going to help the broader audience get access to a lot of this stuff, just because obviously Monster Fight Club can't do everything and they can't record battle reports and also do all the jobs that are required around the office and also pay the bills and all that stuff. So the only reason that I have such a long-winded explanation for this is that I do think that the unspoken heroes for many of these model games are the people who are in the background doing this, right? Because they're the ones that kind of sort through a lot of information. They're the ones that read the rule books. They're the ones that essentially make the more worldwide community available. Also, I totally forgot to mention that Mike is also here. Hi, Mike.
Hey, everybody.
As you can see, we're a very well-run ship here. I run a very tight shipwreck, as you can clearly see. So I wanted to invite Matt on here because he met Mike at specifically. Did you guys meet at Nova? Is that where it was? Or you guys just started talking online?
Yeah,
we just talked online.
So these guys are slipping into each other's DMs, and Matt was like, hey, I want to get on the show. So Matt, that's a very long – I'm out of breath. As you can see, I can barely get it all out. Matt, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on, and we really do appreciate the stuff that you do for the game that we all love. Take a bow, sir.
Thank you.
That's a wonderful bow. Quite the curtsy. I thought you were about to dab. You were doing a dab motion there.
Patting myself on the back.
that's just as good. So obviously – whenever we have anybody come on here, the first thing we always ask them is their nerd origin story. So, Matt, I've been talking too long. Nerd origin story, go.
I'm glad you asked. I want to say the early Baldur's Gate game, shout out Bioware. But I think it goes back earlier than that to Star Trek Next Generation. That was probably my first geeky experience. You know, I always loved, you know, Data, everyone's favorite character on that show. But yeah, as I got older, I just started getting into video games. And one of the earliest games I can remember playing that wasn't Nintendo was the old Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale games. I live in Alberta, Canada. BioWare is an Alberta, Canada company. So we just adored their stuff. And then just lots and lots of video games and since then. And then only recently in my life, within the last 2 years, I've started tabletop gaming.
Usually people start a little earlier, I've noticed. Like, it seems like video games is... It seems like Legos are a great gateway to like the miniatures gaming community, while also like video gaming, obviously. But you've gone you figure only 2 years ago. You look like you're like at least like, you know, you're in your 20s.
Right? Definitely not. A long time ago.
So you figure have you ever heard of these games existing before? Like 2 years ago, did you know that like Warhammer 40K was a thing?
Oh yeah. In the mall here, there's a dedicated 40K store. They have the big, you know, Space Marine in there. I played some of the Space Marine video games, but I always just kind of thought it was just a little bit too hardcore for me. You know, it's not easily approachable, that game, especially if you have no idea what it's about or have no kind of, you know, any kind of miniature gaming experience.
Yeah, 100%. And you figure lack of disposable income also doesn't help that situation.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't help when 10 to 15 years ago you could get into the game and it was probably a tenth is what it feels like nowadays.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Than what it does now.
Now, actually, that's an interesting thing to even maybe elaborate on. So you figure you may have seen the cost of like other games that we're not just going to keep trashing, you know, Warhammer. But you figure miniatures gaming can be surprisingly expensive because it's mostly not just the miniatures, but there's also like the paints and the paintbrushes and the time and blah, blah, blah. As someone who's just recently gotten into this kind of sphere, what hurdles did you feel like you had to overcome?
Definitely the price point and, you know, the entry price point, I guess you would call it, is one of the things that attracted me to Cyberpunk, because you can get everything you need in one box and you're playing. I really love that world. And then if you buy the game, you can invite someone to come play with you. Whereas something like Warhammer, you need to find someone who already knows how the game, invite you. And maybe they don't want to play with a newbie or something who's not going to, you know, be very much fun to teach. Right. And also it just seems like Warhammer and other games, maybe like Infinity and stuff, they just have a thicker rule book than Cyberpunk does too. So it's just a little more daunting in that perspective.
I mean, the Cyberpunk rule book is what? It's like 20-ish pages, if that.
Yeah, 20 to 30.
And that's with big 30, text. 40.
Yeah. And pictures.
And pictures, for sure.
Mike likes the pictures.
You know what? He's always talking about the pictures. He never mentions the words, but he's always talking about, dude, did you like that like splash page on page 11? Oh my God, it's so good.
I've explained this many a times. I can't read. I just go off of the pictures and vibes.
He does say that quite a bit. Yeah. Ad nauseum, you could say. So you figure you've just recently gotten into this. Did you come into this with any kind of background in cyberpunk?
Yeah. So let me explain that rabbit hole. I loved the game. And then just through browsing around, I learned that there was a cyberpunk tabletop game, MFC's tabletop game. Yeah. I was actually just looking what had happened years and years ago. A friend of mine bought a Ninja Turtles Kickstarter type game, similar like this, with the all the rules and miniatures and stuff. And I loved it. He hated it. It was too many rules. I never saw the game ever again. He probably still has it. It's gone now. But it left me craving something. I kept bugging, want to play that game. Hey, it's wintertime. We're not going out. Let's play that game. And then one day I was just like, I'm buying my own game. And then I found out Cyberpunk Combat Zone existed. And I just started watching the videos and the Let's Plays and stuff. And it really attracted me. And then I found out that it's based on an RPG, a pen and paper RPG. So that's, yeah, I just really love the world of Cyberpunk. It's always, like I said, I started my geek origin stories with sci-fi. Right. And so that's always been attractive to me.
And I will say, as I'm staring at you, is that a painting easel in the back?
Yeah, that's wifey. She's a painter too. Okay. She paints the miniatures too, but she also paints canvas.
So what's your background in painting? Yeah, go
ahead, Mike. I was gonna say I also outsourced my painting to my my co-host wifey.
I've been really bad about it lately. My backlog has been bad. It's been very bad lately. But in a good way, you know. The funny thing is, it's not my stuff. It's the backlog. That's the interesting thing. Anyway, so you figure you're coming into this. You didn't even know Cyberpunk within reason. You didn't really even know it existed. That's really fascinating. So now all of a sudden you've fallen in love with this game, as I would assume, since you've become a fixer. And so you're into this. And it's rare that you get to have the perspective of somebody who's hasn't been through the patina of like coming in from a different game, because even if you talk to Mac, who is the head developer of specifically Cyberpunk, am I saying that right, Mike? Okay.
Currently,
he is the first one to admit that Cyberpunk isn't necessarily everybody's first game, but it should be everybody's like secondary game just because of the way it is. But you're coming at it from a primary game. Now, have you felt the pull of any other games since you've started playing this one?
Not really, because I've kind of committed so much funds and time to this one game, and that's how I kind of slipped into Borderlands. It was just so cheap, I couldn't say no, and I knew I would play it one day. And then the next thing you know, I'm streaming that game on Twitch more than I've been streaming Cyberpunk on Twitch, because it's easier to play by yourself. Well, yeah, a lot easier. You definitely can, because you can't play Cyberpunk by yourself. Well, you can with certain scenarios, but once you've played those solo missions, you know, a dozen or more times, you're done with them.
Yeah, I don't necessarily blame there. And so, and that goes to elaborate the point I'm trying to make, is that you may not have heard of this game, you know, and obviously if you're listening to the show, you've probably at least heard of it, right? Otherwise, why would you be listening? But you figure if you can give this to somebody else, I believe Matt has in some ways unintentionally kind of elaborate on some of the best parts of it. It is much cheaper. It's much more of a buy. It's a much easier buy-in than many other games than, you know, that we've seen out there for sure. Even in today, where the market is just so much more saturated than it used to be with other games.
Oh yeah.
I think that the price point of Cyberpunk is a really big feature of it, because of the fact that you can get into it so cheap. You buy one box, you get the cards and you get the models and you get the gear deck and stuff like that. Which I think is very unlike many other games, where you don't get a lot of that stuff with you, with just like, even because like the starter boxes are what, like 100? Are they? They're not even 100. How much are like 50, 60?
The faction starter boxes are 50. The game itself starter box is 100.
Right. And it just goes to show that's a huge feature of the game. And I think that Matt's a great example of that, where he didn't even have any idea that this stuff was in the background, or it was going on. And then he's just like, all right, I'm in. And now he's here. And he's a leader of it. But that goes into the next topic. That goes into the main meat of this topic, the actual like putting stuff out there. So you have recently started doing a Twitch specifically stream, right? Is it only Twitch, or have you gone to other places?
It's only Twitch, with VODs going to YouTube now for posterity, because I won't save them for too long.
Yeah. What's the name of your Twitch channel?
It's Fixer Matt.
Fixer Matt.
That's right.
It's easy to remember. All right, we'll try and put a note in the show notes for a link there. And of course, you have been doing this for, as of time of recording, it's been like 3 months?
Three, four, maybe 5 months now doing the Twitch one. So the Cyberpunk ones, they were rough in the beginning. I have another Twitch channel. We don't need to plug that, but I have experience on Twitch, lots of followers there. Coming over from there to gaming, tabletop gaming, it's been a little bit of a challenge because the miniatures don't show up too well on camera, especially if you're just using, you know, some old webcams you've been have laying around. Positioning them, it's been a challenge. So those first few ones were quite rough, bad lighting and just me not being the greatest host. So I didn't leave them up. They're not around anymore. and then not to steer into Borderlands too much, but there was just the Monster Flight Club was wrapping up their recent game fund campaign, and it was just a great opportunity for me to crack open the new game. Wifey was sick, so I was hiding in my basement and I was a little lonely. I said, you know what, I'm gonna turn on the camera, and I knew I was gonna be chatting with you guys soon about this, so I was gonna get some more practice time in, streamline the channel a bit more, and just, you know, work out some kinks. But things started snowballing over there. We got more and more views. MFC started giving me some promotion, and next thing you know, you got, you know, few dozen followers, we've got some VODs and some good content.
Hell yeah, that's what I love to hear. And so
yeah,
I believe that right there should be the meat of what we talk about. So you, what you can plug whatever you want. I don't care. So the show is, so your other Twitch channel, what is it that you do on that one?
I am a drum and bass DJ, so yeah, locally here I play shows in bars, music festivals, that kind of thing. And then every Thursday I have a show where I play drum and bass. I have friends over from this, you know, from in the town, sometimes from the next city over, and yeah, we play music and make people happy.
So that right there is a major problem. So okay, so let's go over that. Let's go over the bad. There's good news and then there's bad news, right? So whenever you do a Twitch stream, me and Mike have both been. I've been doing the Twitch stuff for the painting, and then even Mike has helped me go into doing live battle reports on Twitch, which could be. It's intensive. It's like, it's much more, there's a lot more work on it than people tend to think. I think a lot of people think it's literally just put the camera on and then just start playing. Like that's all you think about. Right. And so you, if you're doing a sound based one, you would know that if you just put a webcam, like at the end of a long hallway and started slamming away on your drum set, it's like, it's going to sound like crap. Nobody's going to want to listen to it.
That's right.
And then there's always the unfortunate thing where people might not come back. Because they're like, oh, I watched this stream and it was garbage, you know, like a month ago or whatever. And so I think that that's actually a really important thing for people to realize that you might do is that you came into this knowing that, you know, there's 5 senses, I think, right? 5 senses for human beings. And with the Twitch thing, you can't necessarily go for touch. So you really got to go for the ones that you can get to. Sound is a major one. There's a lot of audio files out there that if it doesn't sound good, they're just not going to want to listen to it. And they're never going to listen to it, right? Obviously. And so I think as we go into like kind of the bad of doing online content, it's that I think people don't realize how much work it takes. Can you list some of the things that you like have noticed so that maybe some other people can avoid the pitfalls that you had problems with?
Definitely have some tips for the new streamers out there. Consistency is key. It took me over a year to reach affiliate on Twitch. With my DJ stuff, so just keep doing. Even if only you and your only your mom is watching you, just keep it up. The views eventually come. Interactivity is huge as well. You know, chat to everyone who chats to you, and put stuff in your stream that people can interact with. I like to put, you know, on stream stickers, commands in the chat they can play with, a GIF that will pop up on screen, rewards. You know, if they save up a certain number of points, I'll put on some funny sunglasses or something, right? That's huge too. Make it feel like they're included. Like when I'm in that, they're in the basement with you while you're streaming, that kind of thing. And a couple, if you're going to be on camera yourself or any kind of camera, lighting is huge too. Watch out for shadows. The hue of the lighting can even matter. That really can, you know, ruin a channel quickly if they're, you know, it's just bad camera. If it's got to look as professional as you can.
And the key I've noticed is white light. Try to avoid yellow light. People don't like yellow lights. God forbid that yellow light. Some people can find acceptable. Anything other than those two, there's no way. There's no way anybody's gonna want to watch it. And what about you, Mike? Have you noticed anything? So, like, you have been a mod for some channels that have been pretty big, from what I understand. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been a mod for channels. My friend was big with Fortnite back in the day, and he'd play against Ninja all the time in that heyday, and he'd get probably around 10,000 people in his chat.
So almost as much as the painting stream gets.
Almost. Very close.
So actually, and as a good example, obviously totally different topic. He's doing video game. He's doing Counter-Strike. Is that what it was?
No, it was Fortnite back in the day.
Figure Fortnite, big game, very big audience. It's not as niche as, like, say, a model game thing. Yep. What things did you notice that he did that really brought the people in that people just went nuts for?
So early on, he'd have rewards where you could challenge him to fight and stuff like that.
Fight?
No, like fight in the game, like 1v1s. Because you always get the little kids that come in saying they're better than you. So if they stay long enough, they can redeem the thing saying they want to challenge you to 1v1 fight or something like that. Or he'd add other just like commentary on how he was doing his strategies. But as he grew bigger, he had to take a step back from communicating as much as what we see in like your chat. Mm-hmm. When you're getting so many people, and you have to rely on the mods. So the mods, like, I was interacting with people, I was making sure the rules are being followed. We were being really strict because Fortnite drew in a lot of kids.
Yeah.
That was probably, we were trying to get that parents to pay that subscription fee. And we promised them V-Bucks or something, and we never promised them V-Bucks.
Oh, God. Not the V-Bucks.
As you grow bigger, you definitely have to rely on your mods and make sure that you're getting people you can trust. I think the commands are great. Every once in a while, like, follow age was a thing that people love showing off, being like, yeah, I've been here since this guy was a small channel, or things like that.
I just think the ability for someone to show like a status. I know that status is something that people really tend to like.
I'd like to add something to what Mike was just saying there. When the streamer got bigger, be prepared that you have to put yourself out there. If you're a shy person, streaming might not be for you, because people can develop, you know, parasocial relationships with you sometimes, and I've seen it get weird and creepy sometimes. Either gender too, no matter what gender you are, it'll probably happen to you at some point. So just be prepared for that, and just try to keep yourself safe while you're streaming too, because it can expose yourself in some ways.
I mean, especially nowadays, because there's definitely like for males especially, not to say it doesn't go both ways, but there's a little bit of like a loneliness epidemic thing going on, I think. And I come at it from the actual perspective of like a doctor, right? So it's like something I see the physical parts of it in my office all the time, where there's just like people who are like, I don't have anybody hanging out with. It's awful. And when people come onto Twitch, the way I look at it is that you have to be on a certain, like, you have to always kind of be on when you're on the stream, because you never really know who's going to come in. You have to be, I guess, I don't want to say boundlessly optimistic, but I do think that people come in looking for, so, I don't want to say a shoulder to cry on, but they're definitely coming in there looking to try and fill a, some people, not everybody, obviously, but some people are coming in there to kind of see some sunshine, because they don't go outside to see the actual sunshine. So it's like they're kind of using you as like an artificial sun, if that analogy makes any sense. Do you agree? Is that something that you've noticed?
Yeah, you definitely see, you know, people becoming friends. Like, I've been following some people on Twitch for years since pandemic days, and I still chat with them every day. I've never met them. They live far away, but we still chat. So the community does form itself in a weird way around you, the streamer, right? And sometimes people may not be interested in what you're streaming that day, but they'll still come in just to chat, you know, and just to say hi to you and just see what's going on. Because like you said, they're a bit lonely, and sometimes they might have a bad day, and you're their support group, right? They've been talking to you, and sometimes having the anonymity of those people who exactly know you, they're not directly in your life. Sometimes it can be nice to chat with those kind of people, but at the same time, if you're a streamer, you got to watch out for that, because some people will come and trauma dump in your chat, right? So that completely derails it, right? So you want it to be a nice, safe space, but at the same time, you don't want people coming and hijacking the chat, so to speak, and making it all about them.
And I'm hoping that us talking about this doesn't scare people from trying it. I just want to make sure we start with a strong foundation as we move into the stuff that's actually much more positive. I do think that. But it is important to kind of think about these things, because if you do want to start your own channel, this stuff's going to happen. I don't want it to blindside anybody. What were you going to say, Mike?
And it happens from very small channels to very big channels. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, you have people, we have people in Dr. D's chat that live in Europe, but they consistently come in and you're building a connection with them, and it's great.
Hi, pizza. So,
hi, pizza.
Hope you're listening. So you figure that, and that's, and that in itself turns into a plus, right? So you figure the world, I'm going to blow some people's minds here. So I hope you, Matt, grab your butt. I want you to clench your butt very firmly. The world is round and it spins around in a circle. And what that means is that it creates this thing called time zones. And so when you're doing your stream, you have this weird opportunity where you can essentially meet anybody around the earth at a different time based on whatever it is you're streaming. So if you're like a weird night owl and you have a night off or whatever, and your stream goes late, there's like the chance that you might just randomly bump into somebody who is like, hey, I'm from Belgium and, you know, I was on Twitch and I like your painting or whatever. And so I think that one of the huge advantages of doing streaming is you make friends in weird places. Like if I ever were to ever go to Europe, especially England, if I were to really reach out, I could probably stay in a different country every day and it might only cost me a few of my kidneys. Okay, took a second for that to land there. I thought that was
but you only have two.
Listen, I don't want to talk about that. Matt, you
okay?
With you, and especially with your music stuff, have you managed to like? Have you noticed that your particular demographic is like a particular place or time? Have you noticed a lot of people from countries?
Yeah, a lot of friends and friends of friends have been supporting me. Because of the time, there's the genre of music I play and the time I play it in North America. I don't get as big numbers as some of the other streamers. Like you were saying, time zones can affect your audience. So if your audience is, mainly European based and you're broadcasting at, North America time, you're not going to get a lot of that target audience. So, someone like me, if I want to stream something that people in Europe really dig as well as here in North America, I might want to stream in the morning or afternoon to catch those time zones So it matters. It really does. I never see, Asian time zone people coming into my chats ever, because they're just asleep when I'm on. Yeah, just how it works.
And I can say from even downloads for the podcast and stuff like that, it's given me a rare opportunity to see behind the curtain of like who it is that actually, like what countries have the opportunity to do stuff with model games and have the opportunity to have the disposable income to do these things, or even just speak English, which is what we do the show in, right? And not to say that other content creators don't exist, but I don't listen to podcasts that are in Spanish because I don't speak Spanish, right? So you figure you want to aim your content at the people that you know can listen to it. So in my opinion, if you're going to do painting or a stream for model gaming, you probably want to aim for North America, England, probably maybe more specifically in Europe. I know there's a lot of Spanish people that love model stuff, but again, you bump into maybe potential language issues with that, even though I know Europe, generally speaking, much more multilingual, especially compared to America. And those, I believe, are some of the best time zones. Germany's another big one. Germany's a real big one. They also love model game type stuff. So I think that if you're making this content, especially as an English speaker, I do think that you want to aim for Western America, probably to Germany, probably about as far in Europe as I would go. So that time zone's probably kind of your key there. And I think that the best time to start is when people get off of work all the way until about bedtime. You'll probably get the biggest amount of people then. I've noticed it's around like 7:30. Have you noticed that on your end, Mr. Matt?
Yeah. For the gaming stuff, I've had good success in the afternoon because people like to watch at work. Same with the music, I find too, because they want to listen to music at work. They put you on in the background and sometimes chat, but we call it lurking. I'm here, but I'm not chatting. But if you want to say something, hey, I have a question for you, they'll come back to chat and say something back.
And that's an important thing to realize too, is not everybody that joins your things are going to be lurkers, right? They're going to be non-interactive people. They're as important as the talkers. But let me tell you, the people that talk, if you talk to them back and you interact with your audience as much as humanly possible, your stream will benefit from it massively. And I'm assuming you've also noticed that on your end.
Yeah, just that it helps show the love, man. Because you got to remember, you do this if you want to stream, do it because you love streaming and you love what you're love to do what you're streaming. You know, if it's playing guitar or something, do it because you love playing guitar, not because you want to make money or on the side or get famous, right? Do it because you just want to. It's your hobby.
I think if you can learn to enjoy the process of content creation, I think that you don't burn out nearly as much. And maybe we're blessed because we do stuff that is a fun hobby and I don't rely on it from a monetary standpoint to like pay my bills or whatever, right? But I find that just do the stuff you enjoy. I just don't think chasing after fat, unless you're doing video games, that's a little bit different because people that, you know, that's such like a volatile viewership in regards to like their what they can focus on. When it comes to model gaming and all that stuff, I think you just play stuff that you really enjoy. Don't chase after a fad. I don't think it's worth it.
Agree.
Definitely.
And then I think it does prevent burnout, right? And as you were saying, one of my favorite things I've ever read in my entire life is every triangle can be a love triangle if you love triangles. I don't know why that I felt like I needed to say that, but the way you described like the way you can create stuff, it's like as long as you look at it from a certain perspective, you can enjoy anything you're doing, right? So I think if you're doing battle reports and all that stuff, I learned to really enjoy the process of like editing for like videos and all that. I've learned a lot of really cool skills. I think if you look at it from that viewpoint of just being like, hey, I'm becoming a better human being. I'm learning skills. It'll help me meet chicks, I guess. Probably not a lot of chicks in this industry, but I think it opens up your perspective, right? If that's a good way to put it, of like why you're doing this. I don't know if you agree with me on that. He agrees, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We've done it. He agrees. So, Mr. Mike, you have obviously been forcefully dragged into the Arachne family. What do you think about some of the things that you've like been here? Like, because you've helped establish some of the – you've definitely helped create the community on our Twitch. What are some things that you think would really help people out?
If you can get a second person in there that's like a buddy that wants to hang out and talk, it's just being welcome to people. If it just starts with a hi, then they go on. They're like, oh, yeah, exactly. Now they're in. They're going to talk because you're going to engage with them. Different things with different hobbies, different types of streams. I know with video games, you have like the big convention meetups type of thing, or if there's a big event for esports for that game, usually groups will organize meetups there. We have that with gaming conventions, and I assume with music events, if you're going to play at a live venue, Matt, people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to go be there, and then they'll be like, I've watched your streams, blah, blah, blah.
Is this something that you do, Matt?
No. I've definitely been recognized out. Of all places, I was in Albania one time and someone tapped me on the shoulder. Are you Stellar Matt from Twitch? You know, like you got to get used to. And like you said, when you stream, you got to be ready to be on. Sometimes you may not feel like being personable or social, but you just, you know, suck it up for a few minutes, put on a smile, say hi, thank them for their support. Cause you know, that's kind of why you do this, right? Those people, the fact that you made them so happy so that they wanted to come over and say thank you and tap you on the shoulder just for that reason. It really makes it worth it.
This reminds me of a fun little story, which I'm sure some people have heard. It's called the Starfish on the Beach story. If you guys will humor me and let me tell it, you don't really have much of a say cause I'm the one that edits this. So, the way it works is, there's a man walking on the beach right after a storm. There's a bunch of starfish on the beach because with the rough waters, they get kicked up on the beach. He's walking down the beach, and then there's a lady there who is taking the starfish, and she's taking them and she's throwing them out back into the water. And the man walks up and says, why are you doing that? It's not making a difference at all. And then she stops and picks up a starfish and throws it in the ocean and says, but it makes a world of a difference to that one. And I think that is the key to any kind of content creation, in that the way I look at it is I'm getting on the camera to make something that people might really like, but there is going to be a point where you are talking to a single person, even if it is you talking to a broader audience. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but it's just like, sometimes there's going to be something that you say that someone is going to profoundly hear and be like, you know what? That's exactly what I needed to hear, whatever that might be. And that is one of the major things that Mr. Rogers would say in all of his interviews. I'm obsessed with Mr. Rogers, by the way. And something he would say is that his show wasn't necessarily made for like a huge audience of like a bunch of kids watching it at once. His whole goal was to make it seem like he was making that one episode for like the one kid that's watching it, so that they felt like they were part of the neighborhood and that he was specifically talking to him to make them feel special or whatever. And so I think that if you approach it from a standpoint of making people feel special, I do think that you'll do a lot better, because you're living to serve as opposed to living to get. And I think that that is a huge difference. And I think people can smell it. I really do think that people can read your intentions. I mean, I assume you would agree on that regard.
Yeah. If you do it for the love of the game, and that love will shine through, you know, people will see it. Even if you're not showing it, it comes through.
Yeah. There's one painter that streams on Twitch. He's like a house painter and stuff like that. And he just does like slice of life, like just talking to people. And whenever he gets gifted something, he always says, no, please stop. Like, do a refund. I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this because, like, I want to hang out with people while I'm painting houses and things like that. And his community blew up and like saw videos of it go on YouTube and all that. So the good intention in what you're trying to do, and just hanging out, showing off what you like, or just trying to build a community around something, is going to go a lot further than you're trying to maximize your subscriptions. You're trying to get it so everyone makes it so this guy is the guy that everyone wants to be like, type of thing.
And so I think that leads perfectly into something that I think Matt might be able to help us out really specifically. So that is just some good rules for Twitch streaming in general. When you approach it from a model gaming standpoint, what are some things that you have learned, especially in regards to lighting, that really tend to make the stream better?
Some nice chill background music goes a long way. Being mic'd up properly too. If you're just going to go off of the webcam's microphone that's just kind of floating in the room like that, it doesn't sound too good. Pop a headset, take the time to figure out how to patch in the audio to the broadcasting software properly. Looking and sounding great is key. And just figure out a way to like zoom in on the models, maybe a second camera angle, and make it fun for them to watch too. When you get a crit or a fumble on your rolls, have something pop up on the screen to help celebrate those moments. And make sure just chat. Yeah, it makes it fun for them too, right? Because it's a game. It's got to be fun for everybody.
I'm also taking notes right now.
please, yeah.
But I do want to chime in, not just in live stream, but also if you're going to make YouTube content, things like that. Having good lighting and good audio is going to save whatever you do. Video quality can be adjusted, but those two things, if you don't have those good off the bat, your video quality is going to come out bad, and that's where you're going to lose some people.
So when you, at least for me, when I think of YouTube people that I watch, the ones that stick most in my mind are people who have like some kind of gimmick, like you were saying, where you just have like a celebration of like a certain thing. The one that immediately comes to mind is, I believe the channel's called Glacial Gaming. His name's Phil. He does a lot of 40K stuff because I a lot of times when I'm painting, I just listen to this stuff in the background. And his whole thing is that whenever something happens or he rolls really well or his opponent rolls really well, he always goes, woo! And every time he does it on his YouTube stuff, there's like a meme that'll pop up of like his face on like a thing where somebody's like celebrating or whatever. And so I think if you can lean into that kind of funny showmanship side, I think people really do fall in love with that, I guess. You know, they really like the gimmick. People love gimmicks. I'm not sure if you've noticed that.
Yeah.
Do you have a gimmick on your channel for the model gaming stuff, Mr. Matt?
Yeah, I do. I have, just like you said, when I roll a crit, I actually made my own GIF meme thing of Homer Simpson rolling dice and cheering. And then critical hit across the screen.
Excellent.
So yeah, I have that kind of thing. Yeah, you got to be gimmicky. Interaction's big in this. because yeah, it's especially with model gaming, it's not the funnest thing to watch. So, you know, it's a very niche audience. So if you can make it extra special and make it pop and make it interactive, your audience is going to stick around a lot longer.
Now, for your channel, do you have multiple angles, or do you go with switching cameras, or do you just have it like on a tripod and you move it?
Yeah, I have multiple camera angles. I have one nice one on an arm that's like straight top down view. And then I have another one that's like small tripods for the close ups. What I'd really like to try, though, and this is going to be crazy to figure out, you'd probably need a second person running it. You know how, you know, names above, you know, when you're watching pro sports, they put the names, something like that, that can track the models and help them pop off the screen so you can actually tell what they are sometimes if they look too similar. That's going to be a real hurdle to figure out for me. If I can solve that, you know, crack that nut, it's going to help a lot for miniature gaming.
I think for YouTube, there is a way of doing that for your recorded content, but your live stream content, I do not currently know of one.
You would definitely need a second person to do that.
Yeah, I've tried it. One of my early Cyberpunk ones, I had, you know, little names taped out, like, you know, like Michiko Arasaka and Doc Mittens. But after every time you make a move, you got to like pause, use the mouse, drag it around, and it looks kind of janky. And it was an experiment for sure. But that's why those streams, I took them down, because it kind of added, but it also kind of cluttered at the same time. It's a tricky one to figure out, but we'll find a way.
I do think that when it comes to model gaming, there's much more of a setup than many other things for like other kinds of streams, because you got to have your stuff painted. And for some reason, if a model's not painted at least okay, people don't want to watch it just because of the fact that they're like, wow, this stuff looks terrible or whatever. And it like makes it seem like it has low production values or whatever. How have you managed to deal with the increased burn? And with this game, it's not so bad because the terrain is at least like pre-painted, which is just like a load off of the mind. But how have you managed to keep up with is all of your stuff always painted? Do you let gray onto your board?
I seldom do. I'm lucky enough now, most of my Cyberpunk models are painted for now until I get more, of course. and I once was having a chat with Mac from MFC, and I asked him about, you know, painting your models versus painting scenery. He says something interesting. If you paint your models, that's mostly for you. But if you paint the scenery, that's for everyone who gets to enjoy the table, right? So when I finished my current faction at that time, I went and just went and caught up on all my MFC scenery, got all that painted. So yeah, I'm lucky enough now to have, I don't really see any, almost never, unless I really, really want to show a new faction we got, it's always painted stuff. This, yeah, helps it look way nicer.
I do think people appreciate paint jobs just in general. I think they'd much rather see something painted than not painted. But
of course, yeah.
I mean, but then it's like, but you know, you see like a lot of YouTube channels where they rush it. And I don't know, in some ways, I feel like it might detract from it. So I would say just put a little effort in. Yeah, that's what Mike says. He wants to put effort into his paint job. Not right, Mac. Yeah, Mike. Your name's Mike. Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I just got here.
Mac's been here. Mac.
But I'm a very slow painter. I understand that.
And so it's funny. This is something that I've been postulating on. That's a $5 word. On the idea of it's okay to be a slow painter, especially if it's just for stuff that you know you're going to constantly use. You know, it's like it's better to spend that time on models that you're going to use a lot of, like, you know, your staple models, as opposed to like just a fringe model where it's like you're going to use it once or twice. I just find that it's very rewarding to put the time in for the models you use a lot. Like for you, I imagine you use Doc Mittens a lot because she's way too good. You troublemaker. Anyway, but so to kind of sum up what we're getting at here, do you have any other ideas that you think would really help out other people with content creation in general?
I actually thought of something earlier I wanted to mention. Being able to speak on camera well or on a microphone well, it doesn't come naturally. I know sounds kind of like Dr. D and I and Mike are fine with this because we've been doing it for so long. But in the early days, you're going to be umming and awing a lot. And it's a skill to be able to talk on a microphone. So don't sweat it if you're not great at first. It comes with time.
I learned this very recently. When you edit your first video with yourself and other people that are new and you have to edit out all the ums and ahs, then you're going to start harping on it more and more in what you're going to say.
That's the key. That's the very first editing session where you're just like, oh, it's a mindfulness. Like, people aren't aware. Like, they're nervous, but they, like, their brain knows they're nervous, but they, like, their mouth doesn't know why they're nervous. And then when you hear it, you're just like, oh, that's why they say when you do interviews and resumes, you're supposed to, like, listen to yourself. It's the exact same thing, whereas you hear yourself talk to a guest about something and you realize you're just like, oh, this is actually what I sound like. And it's a nerve-wracking process. It's okay to make mistakes. I do think that people are very forgiving in regards to the fact that when they see you trying, it's an effort thing. When people see you trying, they root for you. They really do. As much as people are going to hate you for putting yourself out there, there might be some, and I'm going to use this word, and so cover your ears, I'm going to use a bad word. There's some silly billies out there who are, I'm sorry I had to use that language. There's some silly billies out there, I had to say it twice, out there that who are probably just going to be mean, but the vast majority of people are rooting for you to be able to make something that you enjoy doing. And I think it's important to realize that. So it's okay to make mistakes, put it out there, you know, listen to them, you know, with their criticism, and know the difference between what's constructive and what's just mean. And I think that that alone, you'll improve insanely quickly, especially at the beginning. It's crazy how much better you get. I'm assuming that all made sense.
Mostly.
Yeah. Mostly. Okay. That's a ramble. I'm just rambling today. All right. So you... Speaking, see my brain loading there. Yeah, speaking on the microphone is very, very important, and it's worth practicing. So maybe practice in front of your significant other, trying to explain something while saying or ah.
A tip I can give for getting over that, I learned from watching another streamer, is before you say something, just pause and think about what you're going to say. Silence is okay. It actually makes you sound smarter because you're thinking about what you're saying, right? People will like it more, and then it'll help you calm down and be more intentional with what you're saying.
It's funny, Mike. This is exactly what we were talking about at the shop.
Yeah.
It's literally exactly what I said. You're just like, it makes you sound like you're smart. Like you're just like, you're thoughtful. You so Matt, me
people
and you
think I'm a genius.
Matt, you and I could not agree more on that topic. All right. How about you, Mike? Any final thoughts that you think would be very helpful for people making content?
Not off the top of my head. I think just going in with a positive attitude and going in there to just do it for an enjoyment is the mental state you want to have. I don't think there's any big trick at first until you find what you think your niche is and how you want to approach your content creation.
Couldn't agree more. And then I think my final thoughts is, yeah, definitely similar to you guys. I do think one of my favorite sayings, as I've said before, every triangle is a love triangle if you love triangles. If you can enjoy the process of what it is you're doing, I think that you can invent reasons to want to keep doing it. I look at it from a self-improvement standpoint. I really like doing this stuff, one, because I get to hang out with people that I really love, like Matt and Mike. And Mac, I guess he was here earlier. I'm not sure. Mike might have killed him. I'm not sure.
I don't know where he went. My bad. Scared him off.
Gosh dang it. You did it again. And yeah, I get to hang out with people that I really like. You get to make content and you get to meet new people. These are all things that I really love. And I really want to be the person that makes something by accident that makes somebody smile in the middle of their day. I want, when they hear the words Dr. D, I want them to think, hey, I remember... you know, not being in a great place. I heard some of his like stupid jokes or some stupid thing that he said or whatever. And it profoundly like kind of like changed my day for the better. That's all I care about. When I make stuff, we're not doing this for money. Let me tell you that right now. Matt, I think Mike is, but we don't let him anywhere near the cash box.
I think I'm giving the money. I'm doing it in reverse.
You get free paint jobs though.
Oh yeah.
You haven't been getting those. And so the most important thing to realize is that if it makes you happy, do it. If it doesn't make you happy, then don't do it or switch it up. And I think creating content is a great way to serve others. And I think that serving others is one of the best ways in the world to improve your own life, because it gives you a sense of fulfillment. And I think Twitch streaming is a really good way to do that. It's not dangerous per se. You know, it's not like somebody's going to reach through the stream or reach through stream and punch you, at least physically. They will go for you emotionally. Tizzy, I know you're out there. I know you're trying to hurt me emotionally, and that's fine. I love you for it. But I do think that ultimately comes down to that. It's all community. Humans crave community. It's a part of our brain. If you feel depressed and lonely, if you find people who you enjoy being around, your life will infinitely improve. Your health will improve. And the world just seems like a much more sunny place. And I think that that's important. So that all aside, we have a little bit of extra time. So I'm going to ask you, Mr. Matt, what's your favorite faction in Cyberpunk?
Oh, geez. Such
yeah, here's the real hard hitter ones.
Yeah, what's your favorite kid?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to be a little cliche and say Danger Gals. They're just so much fun. They're just so useful. I like them. They're my fave.
They're the good guys.
Yeah, I like the good guys.
Kind of true.
I also have one more question for you.
Of course.
As a fixer, how has your stream played a part in this role?
That's a good question.
Good job, Mike. Not so much yet. I would say it's kind of – I'm doing this because I'm a fixer too, right? It's kind of my volunteer duty to promote Cyberpunk, et cetera, for MFC. So I became a fixer this summer. It's slow, but slowly but steadily growing. But another way to just put your joy out there is through the camera, right? Through the streaming. Track some people who, because you'll get people in that when I'm streaming that who say, I don't know anything about this game, but I saw you're streaming it, so I want to learn how to play, that kind of thing. It's just, yeah, part of it.
That's awesome.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
It's a great idea of doing it that way.
So, I think we've
done it.
I think we've done it. Actually, one other thing before we go. Things to consider when you're doing the Twitch stream, the equipment you're going to need. Just as a baseline, you're probably going to need a good webcam. I think people really appreciate seeing your face for that kind of stuff. If you want to be a VTuber, get an avatar of some kind, at least something to like represent you as a person, the fact that you're not a robot. I do think that people really appreciate having that kind of stuff. What other good things? Microphones are really important. If you're doing something like this, I think investing in a snowball, you know, a microphone or whatever, up to you on what brands and all that stuff you want to use. I'm sure you could go on Google and get reviews for all different kinds of pieces of equipment. Get something that is right in the middle. Don't go too expensive, but don't go too cheap. You don't want to go like super cheap Logitech. Although I say that, but there's a lot of really good Logitech. There's a lot of good Logitech stuff these days, actually. They used to be the cheap piece of junk stuff, but actually there's a lot of really good Logitech stuff nowadays.
Thank you, pandemic.
Yeah, no kidding. And when you're doing Twitch streaming and all that, I don't remember the camera that we used, Mike, but it was in the realm of like, how much was it? It was about like $900. Is that what it was?
For the whole streamer kit setup?
Yeah.
If you delay, I can figure out the actual costs.
I mean, we don't have to delay. I mean, because I remember I did write down how much the camera was because I was going to pay for half of it. It's under my debts thing. So the camera itself was, it was about $1,000, because I have you listed for $530 and I think I've painted one. So it was like $1,100, $1,200. So you figure that's a really good camera. Right. And we're also good doing YouTube stuff, right? And
yeah,
I do think the majority of your cost is probably going to come from the camera, because I feel like the lapel mics and all that weren't too bad, were they?
They were $400 to $500.
Okay, so you figure, that's a pretty big price, like cost to get in.
For the camera stuff, it was a big all-in-one bundle. You can find them on Amazon. Best Buy has them. You get a camera, you get multiple batteries, you get battery chargers, memory cards, carrying cases, a bunch of things you need just to do content.
And it's been insanely helpful. We wouldn't be able to do a lot of the stuff we have without that. But Matt, what do you use for your model gaming mics?
Yeah, I wanted to say too, though, don't let the cost of this equipment be a barrier to you if you want to get into streaming. If all you have is an old webcam you liberated from work years and years ago, and that's where you want to start without spending a ton of money, do it. You know, make those mistakes. Yeah. It's going to be rough. It's going to suck, but at least you know you can dip your toes in. I started streaming on, like I said, a Logitech camera. It's all I had at the time. Eventually, when I knew I wanted to keep streaming more, I invested in a Razer camera, Razer brand. Like, you know, like they make like mice and keyboards and stuff too. It's supposed to be a great camera. I have had nothing but problems with it, but that's what I would suggest. Start low, you know, just get the cheap cameras, use what you have in your basement or around your house already. And then if you want to pursue it more, then make a big investment.
I know some people use old like iPhones, stuff like that.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Old phones. Yep. So yeah, just use something to see if you like it. Once you know you like it, then go for the more expensive stuff. That's what I find to be the case. But yeah, okay. I think that's it. I think we hit everything on that one. And if you guys have any questions about doing this kind of stuff, like you're interested in doing it, I would recommend you reach out. You can reach out to me, you can reach out to Mike, and I'm assuming they can reach out to you, Matt, if they're so interested.
Of course. Yeah. Love it.
And we are here to serve, as I was saying earlier. All right. So guys, I think we talked about starting online stuff, and I would just like to take a second to really thank Matt for doing the stuff that you do, because it does seem like a thankless job some days when you go in there and you get nothing but silence. So I think you're doing a great job, and I'm sure everyone here appreciates the work that you're putting in, because it probably does really help out the community more than
thank you. Yeah.
Thank Mike, you. Mike was telling me secretly that he hates you, but I wasn't gonna. He told me not to tell you.
Yeah, I'm used to.
Because you're that. So good at it.
So, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you could, please give us a 5-star review, because if you do, that helps us reach out to get more people involved in the games that we really love, which, of course, includes Cyberpunk Combat Zone. And I'm really excited for the near future of this game, just because there is a lot of really cool stuff around the corner with the Kickstarters coming up here pretty soon. I'm finally going to get my Max Stack, and I'm definitely going to be taking the time to paint some Max Stack on the stream. So if you want to see me paint some dirty, sort of pseudo cops, because they're not technically cops in this part of the setting.
Not quite yet.
Then make sure you check us out on the stream. And of course, if you have any questions about like what it takes to run a stream, then, you know, just go there and we can try and give you an answer. And yeah, thank you very much for joining me. So I am Dr. D, dr.d. You can find me at Discord at Dr. D, which is spelled dr.d, or you can email me at furypainting@gmail.com. Mike, where can they find you?
You can find me on Discord or the Monster Fight Club Discord, which is the same thing, I guess, at Inventor of Soup. And you can also find me by email at inventorofsoup@gmail.com.
And what about you, Mr. Fixer Matt, if that is your real name?
Yeah, it's Fixer Matt for all things miniature MFC related. I'm in the same Discord with Inventor of Soup there, Doc. And if you're curious about my music stuff, you can reach me at Stellar Matt.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of curious. I might join in there. I've been known to like some music every once in a while. And so thank you for listening, Chooms. And never forget, it's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. I hope you guys have a lovely night, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Taking it to the streets. Fast dice, fast talk, you can't compete. On the mic, we elite. Professional, but never casual. Slinging facts, making it tactical. Infinity's wild, unpredictable. The rhythm's unstoppable.